Next case on the court's oral argument calendar is Scenic Nevada, Inc. v. City of Reno, case number 65364. Mr. Ray, we've got you into double duty today. Are you ready to proceed?
I hope so, Your Honor.
Do you need a moment? Okay. All right.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel, my name is Mark Ray. I represent the plaintiff in this matter, which is Scenic Nevada, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 corporation. It's my privilege to represent this organization, which sponsored the Citizens Initiative for the billboard ban in Reno in the year 2000, which was a significant issue for the people of the city of Reno. But the broader issue today, of course, is the rights of all Nevadans. That is, their rights to the initiative process, which is a cornerstone of democracy, or as Justice Rhodes commented in the Jumpers case, let us see the will of the people be done. We cannot do that if the position of the city that prevailed in the court below is maintained today. What we said in our brief, the core of our argument, is that if this or initiative right, this right of the people to govern themselves can be nullified by the very government that refused to act in the first place, the core of a democracy is denied to the people. So we're very grateful to be here today on De Novo Review with you all sitting en banc to address the very rights of the people of Nevada that allow us to have a democracy. This case has passed one hurdle, as you know. Finally, in its respondent's brief on this appeal, the city let go of the position that the billboard initiative of the year 2000 was merely a cap on the number of billboards that could be constructed or permits could be issued for in Reno. We had argued for years with the city about this issue, for years. They kept saying it was merely a cap versus a ban on the construction of new billboards. And consistent with that, they so-called conformed their law in 2002 with the so-called conforming ordinance to state that the ballot initiative was merely a cap. And in 2003, passed the banking and relocation ordinance, which allowed the cap to work by allowing signs to come down in exchange for a banked receipt and then for a new billboard with a new permit to be built where none had existed before in the future.
Counsel, as
in reality, yes, Your Honor.
As you get into that point, that brings us to the issue as to clarifying versus amending. How do you look at that distinction and application here?
I look at it as it's the only way I can see it is substantive. I see it as what was the ballot initiative designed to do in reality? And I have a disagreement with Judge Flanagan on this respectfully. In reality, the initiative was to ban the new construction of billboards and issuance of permits. And so if the conforming ordinance says that you can issue a permit for a new construction of a new billboard, then it is a repeal of the ballot initiative. As you know, the city takes the position, Your Honor, that it is an amendment. They call it in their brief a lawful amendment, but an amendment nonetheless. And whether it's an amendment or repeal or an annulment.
Well, this is back to this whole issue of how the law attempts to define whether you can clarify the voters' initiative.
I don't think, with all due respect to the city's position and
first amending it
to Mr. Shipman, that it really was a clarification. It was the city's interpretation based, as you know, historically on deals that the city had made with billboard companies, Your Honor, in which that happened right after the passage of the initiative, in which the billboard companies and the city agreed that 12 additional permits would be issued in one case, and then Clear Channel and Yesco had additional permits
so
issued.
From your standpoint, if a billboard, say, had been fashioned out of wood and was decaying, they could not rebuild it out of metal?
Right. It was new construction, and a permit for that construction could not be issued, and new construction could not take place. Any existing billboards could stay there.
But they couldn't rehab a billboard, in
essence. That's right. This case did not address at any time what you might call nonconforming ordinances and the status of nonconforming signs in general. It addressed strictly the digital billboard component of the digital billboard law, which is not the same as the old billboards, which So I am not here to tell you that old billboards in the city of Reno cannot be rehabilitated necessarily under the existing sign code for nonconforming signs. I can tell you that this is a challenge merely to the digital billboard ordinance of 2012 and only to that ordinance. We're not affecting any vested rights of anyone by raising this challenge to the digital billboard ordinance. The sole issue is whether the city had the right to repeal the ballot initiative 2000 by adopting the conforming and banking relocation ordinances, which are now being used, those relocation and banking ordinances, to allow the trades of old banked receipts or existing banked receipts for new digital billboards. So that is how far we have come in the last 13 years from this, or 15 years from the simple mandate of the people that no new billboards are to be constructed and no permits are to be issued, to now we are proposing in the city to have state-of-the-art digital billboards erected in the city. I cannot think of a more 180-degree reversal from what the city voted for in the year 2000.
Can I piggyback on Justice Douglas's question? Your the focus, if I understand the focus of your argument, is that to the extent that a billboard is a banked billboard, so-called, that it cannot be constructed as a digital billboard.
Yes, that
because to do so relies on the fact that its location arises out of this banked receipt in the ordinance 5461.
That is that the ordinance itself, under a challenge, has in the underlying portions the way in which a digital billboard can be constructed, and it comes from banked receipt.
That seems to be a different question than the question of a billboard that was in existence in November of 2000 when the ordinance was enacted, being replaced by a digital or metal or billboard. Is that correct?
That is correct. The city has characterized in its briefing and in front of Judge Flanagan this as merely a conversion of an existing billboard to a digital. That is not,
So I'm going to invoke Franny Minetti's name. He's got Goodyear down there on Center Street. He's got an old wood billboard. And that billboard has been in place since his dad started the operation. And it's decaying, and he decides to replace it with a digital billboard.
Yes.
All of which is hypothetical because that hasn't happened.
Right.
This case is not intended to prohibit that activity.
It is intended to prevent the law of Reno to be changed to allow digital billboards themselves, because that is what the law actually does, Your Honor. It actually reverses all of Reno's history in the law to say now billboards can be lit from their source to the outside instead of the light shining on the board.
So that
is a change.
But it seems like there are different questions within the digital billboard ordinance. If the digital billboard ordinance itself is not unconstitutional because it arises many years after the original ordinance,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not contending, are you, that the city of Reno couldn't adopt the digital billboard ordinance?
No.
So they adopt the digital billboard ordinance. The question is its application, and whether that application is dependent upon what you contend are the unconstitutional enactments of the banking and
relocation. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. It's that part of their brief where they say on page 15, as you know, that, you know, we could have done this, we could have done that, so therefore the fact that we passed this ordinance that allows trades to be made from the bank that we put in place doesn't really matter because we could have done this or that. Well, that isn't the case. What the case is that the two ordinances, that is the conforming and the banking relocation ordinance, which upon which the billboard ordinance is predicated, which allows the trades for those banked receipts for digital billboards, those ordinances were unconstitutional when they were adopted by the City Council in 2002 and 2003. That is why we challenged it on constitutional grounds.
So if a digital billboard is being constructed on a banked or a ordinance or a billboard under the conforming ordinance, then that's an improper application of the digital ordinance.
I'm not sure I understand your question. Could you ask me again?
If a billboard that is part of the banked ordinances or an ordinance that came out of the conforming ordinance is being replaced with a digital billboard, it's the application of that ordinance that is the problem.
Yes, because it's a digital billboard is only allowed to be constructed under those circumstances because it comes from a banked receipt. That's what they're using for it. We're challenging that banked receipt process, which is what they use to implement the cap. The cap doesn't make any sense unless you can keep building
but again, under the cap. I want to repeat. You're not making an argument that the digital ordinance is itself unconstitutional under the Constitution as having been enacted too close to the time of the original ordinance.
No, the digital billboard ordinance is not per se unconstitutional because it allows digital billboards. The city can change its mind, if you will, but because the digital billboard ordinance is based upon that banking and relocation system, it's in the ordinance. Mm-hmm. That's what it's based on. It is unconstitutional because those ordinances are unconstitutional. And I know we're not agreeing entirely on the semantics of this, but I think you understand the point that I made. What I was about to say was there was a point in the brief by the city in response where they said that Scenic Nevada's position that the digital ordinance is invalid because it somehow included provisions that may have been invalid in 2002 is not supported by any logic, reason, or authority. I disagree. It's supported by the Nevada Constitution. And the real question is not whether the digital ordinance is valid because it somehow included provisions, but because the digital ordinance uses the banking relocation, which is invalid. Furthermore, as far as logic, reason, and authority, in We the People, this court said, and that's one of the cases we cite, that when a statute is unconstitutional, it has no effect and the prior governing statute is revived. There is authority for the simple proposition that an unconstitutional statute cannot be relied upon in the future. Now, we're not talking about vested rights. Vested rights exist for everyone who has a bank receipt. Those rights can't be taken away. But for the future, we are saying, indeed, Your Honor, that there is authority for the proposition that an unconstitutional law is unconstitutional no matter when that challenge is raised. It is not a statute of limitations issue.
But then would the digital ordinance be valid to the extent you strike all of the references to the banked ordinance pieces of it? Are you saying it's all of a piece and it can't be severed like that?
Justice Pickering, I am confused about this court's jurisprudence as relates to Article 19 and striking certain portions of ballot initiatives or certain portions of
laws. That's a fair confusion.
Because I think there's been some disputes and some dissents and some concurring opinions about what can and can't be parsed from existing legislation or from initiatives themselves. Now, you're not
asking. What are you advocating, though, that we do here?
I'm advocating that we declare this ordinance invalid and that the
wholly invalid.
The City Council for
entirely invalid, the digital ordinance. You would invalidate it in its entirety, not just as to the banked billboard.
And in the process that we make sure that we say, we recognize that the position that we've taken from the very beginning, namely that the Citizens Ballot Initiative 2000 literally did ban the construction of new billboards and literally did ban the issuance of permits.
But for 3 years it couldn't be changed. It could be changed today.
Not that it couldn't be changed in an ordinance that had nothing to do with the kind of ordinance we have here. Not that at all. Simply that I was hoping the Supreme Court could make clear from all the proceedings we've gone through. We've been litigating this specific thing since 2008 with the city, most of it in the administrative process, very little in the courts. But please, if there's one thing that I could request, is that in any decision that you make, however you come out on this, that you please make sure that it's clear that The original ballot initiative means what it says, and says what it means. And although Judge Flanagan interpreted it differently, the city itself is not arguing that anymore.
So, Council, in an effort to be clear, you're rejecting severance completely based upon the exchange that you had with Justice Pickering. It's all or nothing for you, correct?
Your Honor, I don't pretend to know what to sever. I tried to answer that question as best I could, but I don't know what to sever. If the suggestion is made that you take out the underlying portions of this law, some of them, and include others, I have not thought about which portions to include and which not to include. And I know that you have done it before. You did it in the one of the cases you had on initiatives. You did this parsing. You declared some things invalid and some things were valid. So I understand. I respect that. Thank you for your time this morning.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ray. Morning, Mr. Shipman.
Morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, for the City of Reno, John Shipman, Assistant City Attorney. I think, based upon the discussion that we heard, I just want to point out a few things. One of the difficulties that we had throughout the course of the litigation was this really a lawsuit aimed at challenging the digital billboard ordinance, or was this a lawsuit aimed at challenging the conforming ordinance and the banking ordinance? And I think from what we heard from today, clearly this is aimed at the banking and the conforming ordinance. And so the city's position is that, the digital billboard ordinance does not violate the initiative. And if you look at the clear and plain meaning of the language of the initiative, it was to ban the construction of additional billboards. And this is one of the things that the district court relied on, but this notion of new, you have to account for it somewhere. And the problem that we have if we adopt the interpretation provided by Scenic Nevada is new would have to be ignored given their interpretation. And so that was really the intent of the conforming ordinance that was adopted in 2002, was really to make that clear that, again, it was not, and this can be found in the joint appendix at 562 to 563, that in no event shall the number of off-premises advertising displays exceed the number of existing off-premises advertising displays located within the city on that November 4th, 2000 date.
But that ordinance seems to change or interpret the ordinance adopted by the people in question R1 to a cap.
It certainly clarifies it. I mean, I think there was an open question about what new meant, and so that answered the question about new. So you had a divergence
approach,
of views.
But the approach taken in that ordinance now seems to be abandoned in your reply brief. In your answering brief,
that
it isn't a cap.
What is
the city's contention here?
The city's
is
intention
the original is, ordinance a cap, or does it bar any new construction?
It is a cap. It is essentially a cap, and that is set forth in the conforming ordinance 18-16-902B. So that's what the city council interpreted it as, and that's how it's being applied today. So the problem that we have with this case is, again, that Scenic Nevada...
If one accepts that argument,
okay,
then what does the banking ordinance clarify?
The banking ordinance clarifies the fact that because you have the legal right to a billboard, you don't lose that right by just taking it down and putting it into the bank. So, you can go to the next level and you can potentially move that billboard.
Where in the original ordinance do I get the right to move my billboard on the corner of Center and Fifth to Seventh and Keystone?
In the initial initiative, it doesn't say that, Your Honor. No.
I only get that right by virtue of this banking ordinance.
Correct. The city's position, though, at that point when that change was made, the city had the legal right under the Constitution and under the city charter to adopt that ordinance, and that's our position.
Not if the three-year prohibition applies to the city equally with other government actors.
Yeah, the city's...
If you lose that argument, you lose that position, right?
Yes, yes. So, Your Honor, I mean, to kind of drill down on that argument, the city's position is that Article 19, Section 2, Subsection 3 of the Nevada Constitution addresses specifically statutes, amendments of statutes, and constitutional amendments. It does not address municipal ordinances, municipal petitions. Rather, Section 4 addresses municipal ordinances and municipal petitions. In addition to that, NRS Chapter 295 addresses both city and county initiative petitions. In NRS 295, specifically NRS... Oh, well, let me take a step back.
So the city voters of Reno could pass an initiative, and your position is legally the next month the city council could say, we don't like this, we're done with it, we're going to nullify it.
The city's position...
That's your legal position.
Yeah, the city's legal position is that there is nothing in the Constitution, the Nevada Constitution, nor state law, which would... put a three-year prohibition on the city council's...
Or any prohibition.
Or any prohibition. Oh, I mean, you have the charter prohibition. I mean, yeah, essentially, the charter is state law, and the legislature authorized the cities to exist. And under that, they authorized the city council to pass ordinances under Section 2.08. And when you look at that and you look at NRS 295-220, which talks about... with state law specifically requires initiative ordinances to be treated in all respects in the same manner as ordinances of the same kind adopted by the council. So what that's saying is that, you know, there's a very few examples of ordinances that can't be repealed by a city council. There are things like bond ordinances where, again, are enabled by state law that you can't repeal those. But in general, as a general rule, the power to enact also consists of the power to repeal. So the legislature, again, authorized the city to pass ordinances, act ordinances, and because the people in so acting under Article 4 of the Constitution and then NRS 295, if they enact an ordinance, it's going to be treated the same way as a city council ordinance. Which brings up the case, maybe getting to the next piece, is, I mean, there's two cases that, one was cited in the reply brief. It's the Sustainable Growth Initiative Communication v. Jumpers, and that's 122 Nevada 53. I just want to say that case, I think, can be distinguished from the facts that we have here today, and let me offer this. In that one, we had SGIC opponents. They were seeking an injunction and declaratory relief immediately upon passage of the growth initiative. Here, in this case, totally different. We're looking at an attack on an ordinance that was passed either in 2002 or 2003, depending upon how you cut the days. So that's totally different from what we see in SGIC. Another key distinction is in SGIC, the court really did not get in and analyze the wording and of Article 19, Section 2, Subsection 3. But in this case, you know, the district court took pains to really look at what Article 19, Section 2, Subsection 3 said. And it was clear that really applied only to statutes, amendments of statutes, and to constitutional amendments. And you can look at, and then you read that again, kind of consistent with 295. And another thing you can look at in the SGIC case is that opinion relied upon NRS 295-180, Kind of, it was a throwaway line. So the case really did not go into Article 19, Subsection 2, Subsection 3 in detail. It just quoted it a couple times. But then when it did talk about it briefly, it referenced 295-180. 295-180 is a provision of state law that allows a county, the citizens of a county, to repeal a law enacted by the state legislature that applies to them. It has to be a local or a special law. It can't be a law of general applicability across the state. But that provision really only applies in the event that the citizens are repealing a law that goes to a particular county. That is a separate provision under 295, a whole separate section of code that's different from 295 that talks about county ballot questions generally, and that's NRS 295.075 to 295.125. So that talks about county ballot questions. That would appear to really apply in that case. And in that regard, NRS 295.125 is a section that's very similar to 220 that basically says that any ordinance adopted by the voters is going to be treated in the same manner, in the same respect, as ordinances adopted by the council. So that should probably read board. But again, it was the same concept that we see in municipal ordinances. They're to be treated the same way as county ordinances. The 180 provision is in a section entitled County Referendum Concerning Specific Legislative Acts or Resolutions. And that's in NRS 295-140 to 180. And again, that is where we see an express prohibition. It talks about, so whenever 10% or more of the registered voters of any county of the state express their will that any act or resolution enacted by the legislature and pertaining to that county only be submitted to the vote of the people, then they can initiate that referendum. And under 180, when a majority of the registered voters of the county voting upon the question submitted by their vote approve the act or resolution, it is the law of the state and may not be repealed, overruled, annulled, set aside, or in any way made inoperative except by a direct vote of the registered voters of that county. So again, here we have 295 understands Article 19 the same way, which is that prohibition, that three-year prohibition, really only goes to acts of the legislature. And again, in just to quote Article 19, Section 2, so the operative language in Article 19, Section 2, Subsection 3, an initiative measure so approved by the voters shall not be amended, annulled, repealed, set aside, or suspended by the legislature, with a capital L, within 3 years from the date it takes effect.
Let me ask you a question, and I take it from how hard you're fighting the three-year issue and the fact it doesn't apply to you that matters. But let's say the court adopted a different view and said the 3 years applies. Where are we with your digital ordinance, admittedly enacted long after the initiative, outside the three-year period? But assume for the sake of argument, and I understand you don't agree with this, but assume for the sake of argument we were to hold 3 years does apply to you, but where does that leave the digital billboard ordinance in this litigation?
Let me make sure I understand the question. So if we were to essentially invalidate the digital billboard ordinance, is that
the 2002 and 2003 enactments conforming and banking ordinances because they were passed within 3 years and are inconsistent with the 2000 initiative. If we accepted that argument, where does that leave the digital billboard ordinance?
I don't.
Is it wholly invalid? Is it partly invalid?
Those provisions were not addressed in the digital billboard ordinance at all. I mean, they were built upon. So that was.
Well, the banking ordinance is very much a foundation for the digital.
It is a foundation. I agree Your Honor. It's a foundational piece to the digital billboard ordinance. So essentially, if you were to strike that portion, I would submit then the digital billboard ordinance would be inoperative. You wouldn't be able to...
So it's unsalvageable at that point?
Why would that be the result? Isn't there another result?
You're right, Your Honor. Potentially, if you had existing billboards that were in existence, and you could theoretically, under the digital billboard ordinance at that point, use those instead of the banks.
Well, that was going to be one point, okay. But why is the digital billboard ordinance, all of it, rendered invalid just because the other two ordinances are held unconstitutional? Let me just finish my question.
Sorry.
The city enacted a digital billboard ordinance, which includes a whole bunch of provisions, including this banking ordinance provisions. They're all laid out in there. Why isn't that ordinance in toto valid from the date it's enacted?
It is valid from the date it's enacted. I mean,
they don't have to be severed. They're all new provisions.
They are all new provisions. The difficulty, though, is if the banking piece was stricken without going back and seeing how that actually would play out.
Wait a minute. These are separate analysis.
Right.
If the banking ordinance enacted back close to the original vote on R1 is stricken, why wouldn't the court examine the digital ordinance fresh, just as we would examine any other ordinance, and examine all of its provisions and conclude that there's nothing inside of those provisions that are unconstitutional?
Agree, Your Honor. I would agree with that.
Nothing about that ordinance fits within Article 19. Nothing.
Correct. That would.
Why wouldn't that analysis? Did you argue that in your papers? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. But I would agree with that, Your Honor.
Any further questions for Mr. Shipman? Okay. Mr. Shipman, Mr. Ray, thank you for your arguments. The case will stand submitted.